Okay, good morning. We're on page Kuf Yud Dalet, Os Kuf Nun Ches, 158. Mr. Hashem will try to finish this section today. We're talking about a Ratzon Amiti, a real, sincere desire to accomplish this goal, and the sincere desire of getting close to Hashem. And that's the foundation of this structure. Without this, nothing's going to go. So now, in Kuf Nun Ches, he gives an example to try to describe how this works. And this might explain some of the struggling we have with this concept here. Nita, this is our, you know, issues brought up, so I can't eat in a restaurant anymore, I can't do this, I can't do that. So here's the issue. Nitein dugma l'dover, let's give an example to this concept. Oyved Hashem amiti, Eina mevatel kimat zmano lerego. A true servant of Hashem, he doesn't nearly waste a minute of the day. He doesn't waste time. Kol kulo asuk b'torah avodah gemilas chasadim. His entire being is engaged in either learning Torah, serving Hashem through davening and doing mitzvahs, or through doing acts of loving kindness. That is his whole day. He doesn't do anything else. No, that's part of his avoda. That's part of his service. It's a mitzvah to support his family, so he goes to work. He goes to work, but that's only he only works as much as is necessary, and it's only with the intention to support his family. That's it. But that's his whole day. Torah avoda k'moschonim. So let's say, for example, Shabbos. Okay, what does he do on Shabbos? You know, Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim. That's it. He's davening a lot. He's learning a lot. He's doing kindness a lot. That's his Shabbos. That's it. So that's the day. Now, La'adam ha'omed min atzad, someone who's standing from the side and observing this person. Nirish is a dover bilti of shari. He thinks this guy is doing something that's impossible. Echav shalios. Because lachatz. How could you be under this constant pressure? The guy looking from the outside, looking in. And the guy's looking what he's doing all day. This guy doesn't take a break. He's, you know, when does he relax? When does he just fool around? It's unbelievable. I can't live that way. That's what the person on the outside looking in. Now, what kind of pressure are we talking about? Well, listen, he doesn't waste a minute. He's either has a safer in his hand. He's either on the phone trying to help somebody out. He's saying Tehillim. He's davening. What's with this guy? It's not normal. Right? So now, the question is, why do you think he's not normal? Right? Why do you think that guy's not normal? Right? Ulam atshuvahi, so the answer to this guy's question is, how can he take all the pressure? Isha kolzman she'ein ratzon amiti, as long as there isn't a true desire, hareze be'emes lachatz. So you're right, it's pressure. Kizeh neged ratzon adam, because it's going against the desire of the person. Right? The guy on the outside, he doesn't want to be attached to God that much all the time. That's not what he really wants. And this is where you have to really be honest with yourselves. What is it that you really want? Now, I don't know about, you know, any specific individual. But in general, this society wants one thing. Fun. That's it. Fun, however I define fun, or better yet, however the media tells me I'm going to have a good time. And that's fun. Right? So, like, they can't understand how, you know, you talk to a secular person, and you tell them you don't have a television, they think you're crazy. You are crazy. Why are you crazy? Because what do you do when you're home at night? You know, you need the television to entertain you. If you're not entertained, I mean, what could you possibly do that could be enjoyable. You know, and if you tell them, you know, that you haven't taken up skiing, you know, and you haven't taken up hockey, and your kids aren't doing hockey, what are you depriving them of? You know, why don't you understand to enjoy life? It's because their goal in life is three goals: fun, fun, and more fun. Those are their goals in life. There's nothing to their lives. Okay, once in a while, you know, once every 3 months, I'll do a nice act, so I'll feel good about myself. That I pat myself on the back and say, oh, I'm really a wonderful person. Because, you know, once every 3 months, you know, I'll write a check for $18 to a charity. And I'll maybe take an old lady to the doctor. You know, whatever. But, you know, and believe me, only if they can fit into my very busy schedule of fun. You know. Meanwhile, they'll always say, oh, if you need me, call me. Whatever you need, call me. And then when you call, well, you know, I'm only available next month from 2 to 3 in the afternoon. So if that's when you need me, and then I'm not sure myself till the last minute. Right? That's your standard North American, quote unquote, good person. Right? Because, and then they look at you and you're learning Torah. They say, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? I couldn't do this. So the answer is you don't have that goal in mind. Or even if you're a quote unquote an Orthodox Jew. So I have to do this. I have to put on tefillin. I have, so you buzz through it. You don't spend time on it. So how could you be learning? What are you, that's crazy. So it's only crazy because that's not what you want. It's only pressure because that's not what you want. And if you wanted it, you'd see it's not so crazy. You know, because we're able, you know, somehow these same secular people are able to take their 1.7 kids to 7 different hockey practices during the week. Because they're both in select hockey. And they're moiser nefesh to travel miles and miles for tournaments, which I just can't, you know, for what? You know what? Because that's what you want. When you want that, you know, you're going to put in all the hours necessary to have fun and vicariously live your NHL career that you never could do, but you do it through your kid. Right? Because that's what you like, and that's your fun. So when you look at a person living with Hashem, you're saying, the guy's nuts. Because you don't care to live with Hashem. Right? But ulam kasher zeh ratzon adam, but if that's what you want to do, what do you want to do? I want to be close to Hashem. That's what I want. This is what it's really is my greatest enjoyment. So what does close to Hashem mean? You're learning Torah, that's how you get close to Hashem. You're doing mitzvahs, that's how you get close to Hashem. You're doing kindness, that's how you get close to Hashem. That's what I want to do. I enjoy this thing. Hare nismala haratzon, the desire is being fulfilled. Ve'en kam makom lelachatz. There's no room for pressure. What's the pressure? The pressure is when you're doing things you don't want to do. You have to squeeze them into your day. But if you're taking Hashem to the grocery store with you, what's the pressure? What's the pressure? You're taking him to the store with you already. You're close to Hashem when you're in the store. And you're picking out the melons this week. You're picking out the fruits for Tu B'Shvat this week. Right? So what's the problem? What's the problem? So, and if there's a line, so there's a line. So you start memorizing your Mishnayos. You start taking out a little note with a little sefer that you have tucked away that you could just read and learn a little bit while you're in the line while you're waiting. So what's the pressure? You're going from one Ratzon Hashem to the next Ratzon Hashem to the next Ratzon Hashem. What's the pressure? Why is it? There's no pressure. Whatever you're doing, you're doing what God wants you to do. And if you're not sure what to do, you know, go ask your rabbi. He'll tell you what to do. There's no pressure. There's no pressure. Because you know, whatever rabbi's going to tell me to do is the Ratzon Hashem. And that's all I want to do is the Ratzon Hashem. That's all I want to do. And I'm always doing the Ratzon Hashem, which is what? To be close to Hashem. That's what I want to do. That's my Ratzon. My desire is to be close to Hashem. And I took Hashem with me to Sobeys today. And I took Hashem with me when we had to return something in the store. And I took Hashem with me here. And I took Hashem in there. And then when the mitzvahs came, I certainly was thinking of Hashem when I was doing the mitzvah. And I was certainly thinking of Hashem when I was learning my Torah. So then, what pressure is there? What kind of pressure? And that's what I want to do. If that's what I want to do, I'm going to do it the whole day long. So where's the pressure? The pressure is for a person who, let's say, wants to be a good Jew, but also wants to have fun. Now there's lots of pressure, because now which one am I going to do? And one has to be encroaching on the other, and then that's pressure. See, that's what pressure is. Pressure is there's too many things going on, and some things you don't want to do, and some things you do want to do, and I want to get to what I do want to do, but things I don't want to do are getting in the way of what I do want to do. You know, when do you have stress? When do you have stress? Why should you have stress? What's the stress all about? You got so many things to do. Why do you have so many things to do? There's only one thing to do, the Ratzon of Hashem, to be close to Hashem, how God lays it out before you, and He will lay it out before you. So what's the pressure? What's the pressure? Like, what is the pressure? The pressure is because there's other things I have. I have other goals. When I have other goals, you know, then that's a different story. We create these unbelievable pressures in ourselves. You know, I'm going to learn. But, you know, I got the kids and I got this and I got that and all these things, you know, and you want to do those things and, you know, and then you want to learn, but you got too many wants going on at the same time. And then that's where the problems begin. Question. Sam, you're ready to pop up with a question here.
Yeah. The reality of life is such that yes, we can do whatever we do and think about Hashem, and that will get us there, that will get us closer to Hashem, but we cannot possibly dedicate the entire day to studying Torah. It's just for this society here today, that's totally impossible.
I agree. No one
I
says.
I can't think of anybody who does
that. No one says you have to spend the whole day learning Torah.
That's
one of the ways. Let's go back to the beginning of the Sefer that the Mesillas Yesharim said that Chassidus is even for a common laborer. We're forgetting what we learned. It's understandable. It's been a few months.
So all these things that you talk about, pleasure-giving things like let's go to a hockey, we can do that too perhaps and think...
No. Why do you... No, see, here's the mistake. You just told me you in this today's society. So what do you have to do in today's society? You have to work. Guess what? Even 1,000 years ago, you had to work.
Right.
No one has. There's no problem with you working. Okay. No one's telling you that.
You think you're doing good.
And but you're whatever you're doing, you know what I'm doing is okay. What is the Ratzon Hashem while I'm in the business place? How often do you ask yourself while you're at work?
Right.
What is the Ratzon Hashem here?
So if I take my kids to hockey, can I think that way too?
So the question is. The question is, to what extent do they need to have hockey? To what extent are these things necessary? To what extent do you have to do it and not your wife have to do it? There's to what extent, how much do they need? And to what extent are you not encouraging them to do things that are more in line to what they should do? I'm not saying a kid shouldn't play hockey. I never said a kid shouldn't play hockey. No, I didn't say that. There's a time, there's a limit, what makes sense. And then there's beyond what's necessary. And that's when you have to ask a Shiloh. There's no reason in the world that a kid should be in select hockey. Okay? That is totally crazy. Because that becomes the goal for the kid's life. Let's understand one thing. Our Jewish dream is not to have a child being an NHL hockey player. We do not, you know, remember, as a concept of a chinuch. Chinuch means training a child while he's young, to live as he should live when he will become an adult. Guess what? When you're an adult, you don't play select hockey. And if you do, then you're wasting your time. Got it? We don't do this as adults, as Ovdei Hashem. We don't play hockey as a sport that I get serious about. When we're an adult, we exercise to keep ourselves healthy. But we don't get excited about sports.
A general rule. There are kids who are exceptionally...
Does it matter? No Jewish child. You gotta play on Shabbos. The boors, the uncultured scum who are these hockey stars. You don't want to be near such scum of the earth. Right? They're the worst boors. If you read any of these books that they write about themselves, I saw 10 most controversial Super Bowl moments, and they show you how these guys, the night before the Super Bowl, they're getting drunk. And they're doing who knows what the night before the Super Bowl. They tell you how this guy in the second Super Bowl was totally drunk. He comes into the Super Bowl like holding on to the bench. And they call him out to play, and they don't know how he caught 3 touchdown passes. This is the, and these are the guys, is a cover of Sports Illustrated.
No, we're not talking about
these. No, this is the goyish world of sports. Sports are barbarians. They're big zlobs. Okay? You have the 1 out of 100 that has a brain and, you know, really did get a university education and really was smart and intelligent, right? You have to have a quarterback, right? But these other guys are behemoths. The whole game of hockey is do what you push the guys. What's all the fighting going on in hockey if it's such a wonderful sport? And they have this excuse, well, when the adrenaline's flowing, we can't control ourselves. It's behemoths. You can nearly kill a guy, and no criminal charges are laid against you. This guy Bertuzzi, the guy's already down. He gives him a malicious zets, and nothing happened to the guy. What, he pays a fine? What, a guy who's making $1 million a year, you give him a $5,000 fine? It's garnished. If we do this in Bathurst, you'd be in jail for I don't know, nowadays you never go to jail for anything. You'd at least be charged. These are the idols. These are the idols. These are the gedolim. Zvamish, the gedolim hador. You know, they're a bunch of bums. They have no morals. Every single one of them. So they take you to 1 or 2. They put them up in front of everybody else. Yeah, 1 or 2, they work with the inner youth and this and that. That's the minority of them. But they have to make, it's all how you present it. Oh, they're wonderful guys. You want to grow up to be such a guy. The last thing you want to be, so you don't want to grow up to be a hockey player. You don't want to be any sports player.
We're not talking about these extremes.
But I'm saying, we're not,
baseball.
That's not extreme. You do it. When we were in yeshiva, we played ball. You know when we played ball? Friday afternoon.
Whenever.
No, not whenever. There was a time for it. That was at Friday afternoon. We learned all week long. We were tired from learning the whole week. So now, Friday afternoon, shiur was over at 1:30, and Shabbos wasn't until 6 o'clock, whatever. So they said, okay, in the afternoon we play ball for an hour, hour and a half. Zehu. What? Just to play, just to get exercise. That's all, just to get exercise. And that's it. It wasn't my life. It wasn't what I look forward to. Here we're making our children look forward to the game and the points and the score and the this and all the complexities that are involved in learning to be a good hockey player. That's not what we want our children to grow up to be. We want them to grow up to be Torah scholars while they work. That's what we want them to grow up to be. Yeah, a kid's a kid. I'm not saying a kid's not a kid. But we don't talk about it. Oh, you know, we got the game coming next Tuesday. It's a tough team. We're going to practice on Sunday. So we're going to be ready for the game. And we got this tournament. How could, you know, okay, you know, still we have Bali Chuva who don't appreciate it. But you know, if you're really from, how could you ever do a hockey tournament over a Shabbos? So what is it, Shabbos or hockey? Like, what's going on? Hockey tournament. Is this tournament going to make them healthier boys? You wanna play? Okay, Motzi Shabbos, we do a little hockey, what do you call it? Shinny, whatever you call it. You know, for an hour, hour and a half, skate around, have some fun. Good, you're a kid. I've got no problem with a kid having fun. There's no problem. But don't make it their passion. Don't make hockey their passion. Okay, you live in Canada, you know, and you know, there's ice and you have to learn how to enjoy being out in the winter. Okay, so learn how to skate. It's not a big deal. Fine, let the kid learn how to skate. Yeah, once a week he skates. If you skate really well, it's good exercise. You skate for an hour, it's exercise. You sweat, you exercise, fine. But why the focus on the sport and the success in the sport? That's what select hockey is all about. The success in the sport. That's not the chinuch. We're not bringing up children to become successful sportsmen. That's not what the goal of being a yid is. We want to raise them who are healthy. Yes, I want to be a healthy child the ruts of Hashem. I ask my doctor, what do I have to do to be healthy? And I do the bare minimum that is necessary to be healthy, not the maximum. Because I got more important things. Health is one mitzvah amongst many mitzvahs. I have to have shas done by the time I'm finished in this world. I have to be an expert in that. That's all, you know, after work and all these things. That's what a yid is all about. Right? So then there's no time to lose. It's no time to lose. You don't say, what am I going to do now? Right? It's just not there. You can live in this world and be an Eved Hashem. And be focused totally on the goals of your life. And you gotta take the kids for hockey once a week. It's fine. But you know, what are you doing with the rest of their spare time? Why aren't you sitting down and learning with them? Why aren't you finding them another person to teach them Torah beyond school hours? If you've got the money, people got the money for these extracurricular activities. Why is it an extracurricular activity? Bring them a private Rebbe who will, not like school to torture the kids the way the schools are torturing them. But to make it learning is it really, really is an enjoyable thing. It really is if the teachers knew how to do it. But you gotta hire a guy for $50 an hour who'll sit down and give him an enjoyable hour of learning Torah. Because you got all the other money to waste on all the other Narish Kaiten, but we don't think about that. You know, you could bring your kid Thursday night and learn Thursday night Kollel night. What's so terrible to learn? You know, it's unbelievable. You know, you have people ready to teach. Your kids doesn't cost you. We don't charge you anything. Kids get chulent later, right? Why don't you teach the kid to know that at night you learn Torah like your dad? No. There's hockey. Much more important. The third night already, Thursday night. Yeah, sorry, Rabbi. We've got to play. He's got to play hockey. He won't be in the select league. You think eight-year-olds want what you tell them is what's good. That's all they want. They want what Abba and Ima says is good for them. What Abba and Ima are excited about, that's what the children are excited about. The Emma says the Abba is excited about hockey. Much more excited about hockey than about Limud HaTorah. And let's be honest about it. So the kid wants what the father really wants. So you can live in this world just to steer clear of the Mishagas. Right? So we live in this world, seven. You have to have a TV, right? You have to have a TV. Like I talk about, they can't get it. How can I live without a television? What am I gonna? What are you supposed to do? For goodness sake, there's not enough people. You know, go help Leonard with Link. So Leonard has to do the whole thing by himself. Leonard's a tzaddik. You know, Leonard, you're a tzaddik, but you do a lot better if some other people would help you. No, you know, some people would help fundraise. No, you don't need any help. You'd say, Leonard, what can I do? Leonard would say, you know what? Tuesday night, spend 2 hours making cold calls and raise some money. You know, that's a mitzvah. And let's say you can get $200, whatever, $300. You know, what does it cost, Leonard, to give somebody Pesach? Yeah, $600. Okay, what are you watching TV for? What are you going to hockey? Go raise $600. Do that. And that's, you support a family for Pesach. You got from now till Pesach. You got a lot of nights. You could support 10 families. No, Leonard, we know Leonard does that. We don't do it. Leonard does it. I can watch TV because Leonard's doing it. Okay, I'll give him $50 before Pesach so I won't feel so guilty that I haven't done anything for Jewish people. You know, there's no lack. You don't have a brain to learn Torah. Good. Go pick up the phone and start calling people. You know what? I'm collecting for this charity. There are Jews who don't have food for Pesach. There's many Jews who are in poverty. Will you please help? You know what? People will give you money. But you know, I don't want to make a cold call. You know, that's so unpleasant. But do you love Hashem? Then you love Hashem's poor children. You're going to take care of his poor children. Like I don't get it. There's so much what to do that's good. But everyone tells us not. But what's the difference? The difference is, do you want to be close to Hashem or do you not want to be close to Hashem? That's all. A person wants to be close to Hashem, there's no end of what he could do. He's like a kid in a candy shop. I don't know which good thing to do first. I'm not sure. I'll ask the rabbi of Shiloh. He'll tell me what is the better thing to do. What is the real ruts in Hashem over here and not over there. So, but that's the key point is, what do you really, really want? What you really, really want? Yeah, Leonard.
Because you why they got TB, why do they, their children do this, and you say, and you, you mention the word, you say, you can't fathom it, and you can't understand it, okay? But you're on the other side of the fence. They can't see it either.
No, I cannot, no, I can understand why they're doing it. Because they want to have fun.
But
that's how I understand them.
But so then what, what's the point of us saying we don't see it? Okay? We don't understand it. It's Narishkeit.
No, I'm saying the reality is it is Narishkeit.
There's no question about
it. That's fine. That's fine. That's all I'm saying. That's all. So what's your question?
No, so the question is every single person at a level, okay? Like it's good learning this book. A guy says, don't go, shouldn't go out for dinner. You shouldn't go to prison. Every Jew's goal, you just said, is to know Shas, okay? That can't be true because there's millions and millions of Jews who's not even going to get to one page of the Siddur, never mind the whole of Shas. And see, how can that be the goal of every Jew? It's impossible.
That's what the goal should, that's what every Jew is created for. If they're not open to it, that's called a tragedy, Leonard.
Whatever it is, it's the facts, okay?
Fine, so good. So I'm not learning this book with them. Every Jew was created to be able to learn Shas and is capable of learning it. But the problem is, unfortunately, they've been captured by enemy forces at a young age. They've been kidnapped and they're lost. And that's a tragedy. That's all I'm saying. It's a tragedy. But I'm saying any Jew who is, quote unquote, a card-carrying Orthodox Jew, that's what we're talking about. This book is not... I'm not taking this book to a Reformed Jew and saying, listen, you got to do this.
But even our goal, who's Orthodox Jews, have changed. We can't.
So our.
We can know the whole of Shas before we die.
It's not true. It's not true. You know what? The average person in this room, or Mirtz Hashem, the average, there's going to be Chas V'Shom exceptions. The average man in this room will live till 75, right? I mean, the average, right? And hopefully some, a few more, right? most of us are not past 50. Most of us are not past 50, right? You got 25 years. You don't think you can't finish Shas in 25 years? You for sure could. For sure could in 25 years. Just wait. Wait till you'll see. You can learn Shas in 25 years. If it's not the Shas, then all the Rambams is also fine. All around. You could learn it in 25 years. You will finish it. If you commit a certain amount of time, you will finish it. I promise you. You will finish it in 25 years. You will. That's why God's giving you a lot. Why do you think people are living longer now? Because Hashem knows they need more time to get it done. Why is God blessing us to live longer? Why? Most people are dying by 40. Right? Go back 150 years ago, whatever. You died by 40. Now all some people are living until 70, 80. What for? Number one, because I really think God knows there's going to be Baal Tshuvas. They're going to need to make it up when they're older. They're going to need to make it up when they're older. And don't say in your mind, Leonard, I promise you, you will finish us. Okay? I promise you. Anybody in this room who wants to do it, anyway, or at least all the Rambams, anyway, who really wants to do it, you will get it done. You'll get it done. You'll get it done. You're going to find, everyone has what we call spare time. You're going to spend your spare time getting the job done. You can get it done. If you want to get it done, it'll get done. The Yetzer Hara says, you started late, you can't do it, you're never going to be a scholar, so you know what, why bother trying? That's the Yetzer Hara talking. I'm telling you, anybody here can finish all the Rambams. It's not a problem. It's not that impossible. You could do it. Believe me, you could do it. It could be done. So that's what we have to focus on. But all these other things, Sammy, that you're saying, we live in this world, get rid of the Narishkeit and you'll see, you'll be able to do this. So that's the challenge of the Baal Tshuva. The Baal Tshuva is going through this process where the Baal Tshuva has been so inculcated with Narishkeit. Now to move them, to understand that my focus in life is closeness to Hashem, and that is really what I want, and that's what I really enjoy, and everything else is a total Narishkeit. All of a sudden, there's a lot more time. There's a lot more time, and there's a lot more focus, and you could do so much. You look at somebody, I'll just say, for example, someone like the Friedlanders. Okay? What does Sam Friedlander want to do in his free time? Learn. That's it. That's what he wants to do. finished. He understands. That's the goal. Chesed. That's what he wants to do. And that's what he's focused on doing. And they don't watch TV, and they don't do these menorishkeit, and they don't have to worry about these things. Because now he understands this, and he, what's wrong with the guy? He must be unhappy. He's loving every minute of it. So someone looking at the outside says, you're crazy. How can you handle that pressure? He says, what pressure? This is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. That's it. I don't know, people can, I don't know, you know, other people can handle, because that's what they want to do. So that you know, but we gotta keep working on this. I appreciate the cognitive dissonance. I appreciate the gap between where we're being told what we should be and where we aren't there yet. Okay, so that's why we're learning to say, that's why we have to work on it. We gotta really work on it. And that's where the breakdowns happen. Klala Sheldover. So the general rule is, the middle of Kufn and Ches. Avodas Adam Reishis, the service of a person, first off, is he lirtzos be'emes, to truly want. Sharatzon liskarv l'kodesh baruch yamiti v'chazak. His desire to be close to Hashem should be true and strong. That's the first thing you have to want. U'me'emes, and the truth is, v'zman shadam zoich l'ikonis l'pnimiyas haratzon. When a person merits to enter into that deepest desire, as a zochel oineg b'milui ritzono, he merits this delight with the fulfillment of his desire. When that desire is realized, then you'll be the happiest person. Now he says a very important point, and this is where we're struggling. Ulam zeh shnei shalavim. There are two levels here. Reishis, level number one. Tzarech lirtzos be'emes rasan chazak amit. You gotta really, really want this. But while you really want it, at the same time, v'adayin ein lo mili l'ratzon zeh, you have not yet fulfilled that desire. Ki adayin lo zacha li'sanig l'Hashem. You have not yet merited to take delight in Hashem. Step number one is saying, I really, really want to be close to Hashem. That's step one. Really, sincerely want that. But you know what? You want that doesn't mean you are that close to Hashem yet. And if you're not that close to Hashem yet, you don't enjoy the pleasure of being close to Hashem yet. There's the wanting stage, the real wanting stage, the working stage toward, and you're not there, and you're not enjoying it yet. That's stage one. That has to be stage one, where it isn't pleasurable yet. Ula achar mikain, and then comes step two. Zoicha l'milia ratzon. You fulfill the desire of the will. Shuha einig, which is the pleasure, which is lehis anig el Hashem, as the prophet says, to take delight in Hashem. Ulam but mitchil in the beginning, muchrach ha'adam, a person must, lavor es ha'shalav shal ratzon greater b'lo mili. You have to pass the stage of desire alone without its fulfillment. There must be a passage of that stage, and that could take years. You want to be a professional hockey player. You know what? A real professional hockey player, years, practice. Oh, I want to be like that guy who took the puck and did a reverse this, that, and he glided through and skated through that. You know how many years they got to practice just to walk on skates? And to hold the stick in their hand and control a puck while skating. You know how much time that takes to practice over and over and over. And it's not fun practicing. Right? It's not fun. What's the fun? When they're skating through the defense line and they do a whoop-de-doo and and it hits the upper corner of the net where the, and you watch that, you know, that guy spent years suffering, wanting that goal, wanting to be there, but he wasn't there yet. Why'd he keep, there was no fun, there was no glory, was no pleasure. You know, till you make your first goal, they send the puck to you, you want to shoot it, you miss the puck 20 times. You're trying to hold the puck while you're skating, flop again, you can't do it. You got to work, and you work, and you work. And that's what we're teaching our kids. You work hard, you'll get it. You know what? The kids don't enjoy it in the beginning. You take these kids to practice in the beginning. When are we going to play? You make them practice first. We want to play. You don't know how to play. We want to play. And then when they do play, they don't practice. They look so foolish looking, and they're not really enjoying themselves either. No, you got to practice and skill building. They call it, right? And you build the skills. Skill building is never fun. Now, when you've got all those skills, now you use those skills. It's a pleasure. Learning how to play the piano. Oh, what kind of tsuris that is. Remember the keys. Go, right? Keep doing it. I want to play like in the concert hall. Years. And then when you've trained your fingers to deftly go over the keys, then it's a pleasure. So we know that about anything else. Who are our biggest stars are the Olympic stars. You know how many years they're training these guys, how they run miles every day. Right? For that one moment. Right? So we can learn something from the non-Jewish people. What do you tell me that you don't have the ability? Any person has the ability to go through step one and not enjoy it till they get to the skill level where they enjoy what they're doing. Right? So isn't that true about Yiddishkeit? Why do we not cut Yiddishkeit the same slack? You're prepared to have your kid go to university for 4 years where you know he doesn't learn a darn thing for what his profession teaches him. And then he got to go another 3 years and he still doesn't know anything. And then finally when he's on the job, he finally learns how to do the job. So that we're willing to invest 6-7 years. Because why? Because it's important. He has to make a living. So why aren't we investing that time that our kid should be close to Hashem? Which is not. So I don't think it's important. So here, this is the stage we're at here. So hopefully, maybe. Okay, we want this, but I don't feel it yet. That's right. Now, you prepared to do the work? All these monotonous chores. Okay, we're going to talk to God every day. When I go into the store, I'm going to talk to Him every day. I'm going to have moments of His bodus. I'm going to sit down and reflect what I really want and keep talking to Hashem and keep mentioning Hashem and keep reflecting on the things He does and keep talking and talking. It's boring. No. It's just as boring as practicing how to hit a puck and passing a puck. Let's do it again and again and again. They must do it thousands of times. Thousands of times. The same dumb thing. Here. Take the puck and pass it. Again. Oh, we're going to practice fundamentals. Again. So that's the same thing you got to do to learn to be an Eved Hashem, to be close to Hashem. It's the fundamentals over and over. Fundamentals are not exciting and are not thrilling. So that's what Avodas Hashem requires. So that's the stage we're at. So we have, if you really, really want, but so what keeps you going? What's the difference between the guy who eventually becomes the hockey star and the guy who's the also-ran? Because the guy's more dedicated to the cause and really wanted it more. And not necessarily the most skillful guy. There are people with God-given talents. There's people who just work the talents, develop the talents, because I wanted it more than the next guy. Right? So it's the same thing over here. You want to be close to Hashem? If you want it, you'll get it. If you don't really want it, so that's what he keeps telling us. Do you really, really want it? Or, you know, the rabbi says it's a good thing. I guess I should want it. You know, that doesn't mean you really want it yet. So that's the critical point. But he is telling you, you will get to that oinig. You will get to that pleasure. That pleasure will be there. When you realize that you don't get angry anymore, you know how pleasurable that will be? When you realize that you're not so lazy anymore, or all those negative qualities are beginning to disappear, then all of a sudden, you know what? This is a big pleasure. That's the challenge. Kufnun test. Lacha shezocha adam after the person merits. V'yesho rasan az lios karvel kadosh baruch hu. He has a strong desire to be close to Hashem. As I efsher. Now, if you really have this, remember what our topic was, Yiras Hashem. Then, only then, is it possible to develop a true fear of sin. Because now you're really worried to be distanced from Hashem if you do a sin. If you really, really want to be close to Hashem, and you really are working hard on doing things to be close to Hashem, the last thing you want to do is a boneheaded thing like an Avera that you know will distance you from Hashem. And then all of a sudden, it's not like I have to force myself and hold myself back and feel the pain of not doing a sin, saying, of course I don't want to do this sin. I've been doing all this effort to be a good, close person to Hashem. Why do I want to blow it now by, you know, in 1 week of a vacation to a place I shouldn't be going? I can blow a whole year's worth of Avodas Hashem in 1 week. You know, you can go to some places that it's just, you see things you shouldn't see every day, you do things you shouldn't do every day, and then you get back on track. Oh, it takes so long to get back on track. And it takes you months and months to build you back to this place. But if you had this natural wanting to be close to Hashem, you naturally wouldn't want to do a sin. Tzuras avoda bezos, the shape of this kind of service, who confesses the charnel, as we mentioned before. So therefore, reishis, number one, tefillah rabbalkach. You got to daven a lot for this. You have to merit to feel this, and to separate from an avera. So you got to daven a lot. In addition to this, avodachushis, this service that you can sense. Remember, you do practices. You're standing next to your friend's object, and the friend's not there. And you begin and you speak in the beginning to yourself, and then afterwards you say it to Hashem. He's just repeating now. I have the ability to take this object. And why won't I take this object? Because if I do that, I will, God forbid, be distanced from my Creator. And Ritzoni Lios Kari will have my desires to be close to Him. If you think that way, you're activating these feelings. So Kain Yirba Baham Choshes B'chol Mini Ofanim Shame. She should continuously add on these kinds of thoughts, all kinds of, why don't I do this? You know what? I could cut off this guy right now in traffic. I could honk this guy right now in traffic. Why don't I honk this guy in traffic? Because a person who's close to Hashem doesn't honk people in traffic unnecessarily. You don't do those kinds of things. You speak it out to yourself. I don't do this because I want to be close to Hashem. To reflect on your thoughts. And then verbalize it. Mamish. This action will make me close to Hashem. This action will, God forbid, distance me from Hashem. And that should be the way his day shapes up every day. In every single thing he reflects and inspects. Will this, what I'm about to do, bring me close to Hashem, or will it do the opposite? And if that, the Chovas HaLevavos talks a lot about this. Remember, everything you do, no matter what you do, is either taking you a step closer to Hashem or a step further away from Hashem. And if you think like that all day long, you're going to get to that point. All right, that's an important point. It has to be elaborated on more, which we'll continue on tomorrow, Mirz Hashem.